talk about the flood tonight and learn three lessons from the flood. And look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for the truth that we know in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask you just encourage us tonight from this passage of Scripture. Most of the world doesn't believe it, but we know it is true and we know it happened. And Lord, help us to learn some lessons about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want you to notice is that God does judge. God does judge. Let's go back and read verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Keep that in mind. That's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. And we're talking about pre-flood when people lived a long time. We know that Adam lived 939 years. Methuselah lived 969 years, the longest man to ever live, the oldest man to ever live. And so you got to remember what a time this was. Only evil continually, which is absolutely opposed to what God wanted. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Look on down in verse 11. He then says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. First, I want you to notice, God does judge. But God is not a God in heaven that just has a temper tantrum. You know, you and I could get mad at a moment and get mad at someone or say something. God is not like us. God doesn't have a temper tantrum. God doesn't just suddenly, when people hear about the wrath of God, that the wrath of God. They don't understand the wrath of God is not where he just suddenly just boils up and gets angry. In the New Testament, the word for wrath means a settled hatred of wickedness. There's another word for wrath which describes us, which boils up like a fire. It boils up, and that's the way we think of anger. But God's anger is not that way. He hates wickedness. And he doesn't just hate wickedness because, well, you know, he hates wickedness and that's his preference. No, he knows what sin does. He knows how harmful and how destructive and how terrible it is. And so the whole earth, because they live long, and God allowed them to live long, I think because of a canopy over the earth, and he allowed them to live long, because of that, they just became so wicked and so corrupted and so evil that other than Noah and his family, there was no one left. He had to destroy them. God must judge. Not because he's just some vindictive God, but because he cannot stand evil. And when people refuse to come his way, he must judge. We know in the end time there will be the great white throne judgment. Not us. We will not stand before it as Christians. But those who do not know Christ will stand at the great white throne judgment. And they will be judged. Now, you tell most people today, they'd laugh at you. Oh, come on. But you know, I have noticed this. Have you noticed that even pagans who don't believe in hell do believe that the people they don't like should go there? Have you noticed that? I could give you some examples tonight, which I will not, but I can give you some examples of people, things they said, and they I know they don't believe in hell, but they sure didn't mind telling someone else that they needed to go there because that isn't what they believe. That's not their crowd. But you know, they don't believe it'll happen to them. But outside of Christ, God must judge. He cannot allow wickedness. Can you imagine if you and I just said, oh, we've had enough of it. Let's just get rid of the police. Let's get rid of the courtrooms. Let's just let everybody do anything they want. You may think we're already there, but we're not yet. Let's just let everybody do any way they want to. And say I ran for an office of Thomasville and said, hey, we're just going to do away with the police and do away with all the court system. No more judges. We're just going to let everybody live any way they want to. You go, I'm not voting for you. I don't want a world like that. Well, God doesn't want a world like he saw where the earth was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. He doesn't want that. So he has to judge, and he had to destroy them. But I want you to notice the second thing. Notice in verse 3. Not often seen in the flood. Verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. You will notice in some places, particularly in paraphrase, they'll say that God intended that the spirit in man would only be able to live 120 years. Most people don't think that's what he means. He simply means from the time he announced to Noah, there would be 120 years before he would bring the flood. Now, you know how that is in contemporary time? 1896. Now, let me ask you a question. Suppose God said to the world and said to a particular man, I'm going to judge the world. You got 120 years from 1896 to 2016. That's a long, long time. You know what that says about God that people don't realize? Is how patient God is. Remember we described in verse 5 and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually? And God was so grieved that he wanted to destroy the earth. He was going to and destroy the people. But he waited 120 years. God is very, very patient. I would have struck him down on Tuesday. I would have said, that's it. You're done for. Not God. He waited 120 years. You don't have time to turn this. 1 Peter 3:20 says this. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. The long suffering patience of God. I've often thought that when Israel was judged in the Old Testament and God told them and warned them and warned them and warned them by sending the prophets. And over 200 years, he sent the prophets, and they simply ignored him. And finally, he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come down and destroy the temple and take away captives. But he waited over 200 years because he was patient. Think for a moment. If you and I lived in a world that was mass violence, and we're not talking about what we have today. We're talking about mass violence and evil. And God said in 1896, I'm going to wait till 2016 before I destroy it. Whoa, Lord, can you do it now? Let's go ahead and get this thing over. No, God is a patient God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. 2 Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah didn't just build the ark, getting ready for the flood. Noah preached of a coming flood. And you know what? You might get discouraged sometimes and think, man, where are the people? But I tell you, after preaching for 120 years, and when they give me my going away present and say, well, preacher, we've enjoyed having you for 120 years. Well, how many people do you have here? Me and my wife, my three children, their wives, that's all we got. That's all I got after 120 years of preaching righteousness. Boy, that'd be kind of discouraging, wouldn't it? That'd be kind of discouraging. But that shows how patient God is. God is so patient. He waits. You and I look around our world and say, my, 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 my. God has to do something. Well, you know, God's doing more than you realize he's doing. But yet, you got to remember, God is patient. Only God knows his timetable. Only God knows what is going on. But God doesn't just do things on the spur of the moment. God doesn't just do things right now, here, and there. He's a very patient. He's a very kind God. Remember what we spoke last week on 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient. Patience means to put up with and to pray for and to keep on keeping on and to keep encouraging and not to give up, hoping that they will come, hoping that whoever you're praying for, their lives will change. Whatever will happen, we just keep on praying and keep on asking. We don't give up. God didn't give up. God sent Noah out there to preach, the preacher of righteousness, and he also sent him out there to build an ark because he was a patient and loving God. But let's go back to point number one. His patience may be misunderstood to mean he lets it slide by, but that's not true. He will judge, but he's patient. Third thing I want you to notice in verse 14, this is the nature of God. Not only is God patient, but he always provides a way of escape. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within, without, with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. In other words, Noah, I'm not just going to strike everybody down. You know, I'm not just going to send lightning bolt. What I'm going to do is I'm going to provide a way for escape. I'm going to provide a means where people, if they so choose, can be escaping from the judgment that I'm going to bring. So I want you to take the time to build this boat. I want you to take the time to build this ark. You know, in the Creation Museum, somewhere up there, where is it? Somewhere up Pittsburgh, not Pittsburgh, but somewhere it's up there. It's up there somewhere. Anyway, wherever it is, they're building a life-size ark. And it should be open this summer. They're building the exact dimensions of what the ark is, the actual three stories to it. And that's something I'd love to see. Well, God had Noah out there building this ark. I don't know if he did it for 120 years. Some think he did, but whatever. He built it for a long time. It took a while. And there was this ark. You know what he was saying? God is going to judge the world, but come on into the ark. You can be saved. Come on in. There's a way to escape God's judgment. There's a way to find a way to be free. Come into the ark. Come into the ark, and we will save you. God always is patient, but God always provides a way to escape. He has to judge because he cannot allow sin to go. You know, if you have a mass murderer who's just murdering people, hundreds of people, you can't just let him go. He must be punished. Well, God can't let the world go free. They must be punished. But he says, I'll give you a way out. And at the end, the only people who came was Noah and his family. 1 Peter 3:20 says it this way. Which sometime were disobedience when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. I like that. God's long suffering waited in the days of Noah while he was preparing the ark. And if they would have came into the ark, they would have been saved. But the sad thing is, that shows how wicked they were. You know, that's the same thing about God today. You know, and I know. God says, listen, I'm patient with you. But sometime the time's going to run out and the end's going to come. But God has said through the Lord Jesus Christ, but I provided a way that you can escape my wrath, that you can escape my eternal judgment. I provided a way through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the character of God. You know, forgive me for saying it again, but I was thinking about Deanne's father, knowing him for 32 to 33 years. All those years, I never really had a chance to talk to him about the Lord. I tried, but his heart was so hard. But you know what I did in 32, 33 years of visiting him? He was a staunch particular person in some areas, and he had some ideas. He was a fine man. But you know, if there was anything controversial that wanted to be discussed, I did not discuss it. I did not bring it up. I always was trying to be as kind and gracious and loving to him as I could be, to be appreciative of him, and never really want to be controversial. I said, Dean, we're only up there 2 weeks. Let's try to keep things as peaceful as we can. And you know, I believe that when it came time to witness to him and he found Christ, I think God had been using that for 32 years to prepare me and him to listen. Because I didn't come in with guns a-blazing. I didn't come in with saying, oh, I disagree with you. I simply came in to be as loving and kind and gracious. And when the Lord was ready, can you imagine 32 years of patience? That's the way the Lord is today, folks. You may know some folks out there that don't follow the Lord. You may know some folks out there, man, I wish they'd get their act together. Well, just keep praying. Just keep praying. Don't quit, because God is patient. He doesn't give up. I remember a particular preacher saying, I prayed for my daddy for 35 years to find Christ. He didn't find him till 36, to the year of 36, after I've been praying for him. But he found Christ at the end. God is patient. I kind of wish sometimes he'd do it quickly. But the truth is, if he did it quickly, then that would be less opportunity for other people to find the Lord. Because when the Lord says, when the flood came, he closed the doors, that was it. Patient for 120 years, Noah preaching for 120 years, but when he closed that door, that was it. No more. And when God comes, begins the end times, you know what's good about the Lord, even in the tribulation, and we read Revelation, go, oh man, I tell you, that's just terrible. And yet they shake their fists at God, and yet, you know what God does? He sets apart 144,000 Jewish evangelists in Revelation 7, and they go out to preach the gospel. And do you know what? In the tribulation, there are going to be many, many people find Christ who will come to him. Because God never brings judgment just out of a fit. He never brings judgment just because he's up there upset. He always brings judgment because he has to. He has to. There's no other way. But he always says, I got a way of escape. You'll read in Revelation where many will be martyred, and they'll be around the throne of God, martyred for their faith, martyred for trusting in Christ. They were killed for their faith, and yet they're now in heaven, rejoicing in the Lord, Revelation says. They'll be up there rejoicing in him. You know why? Because God always says, I've got a way. I've got a way. You know, I think in America, if the truth were known, we read the news and we see the news, we go, whoa, boy, we're done for. And of course, we may be done for. I don't know yet. But you know what? That's keeping it going. Across America, there are hundreds and thousands of Christians who love the Lord, who are praying, who are ministering, who are caring. They're not on the news. No one sees them. But they're out there ministering and caring and reaching people, because that's God's way. He's a patient God. And he wants you and I to patiently keep praying and never quit, never give up, and always know he can answer anytime. He can open any door, because that's the nature of God. He always provides a way. Kind of reminds you of the scripture, there's no temptation not taken man, that God will not provide a way of escape. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. God always says, come, come. He's always available to receive anyone. and he never quits. He's always a patient God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word and the truth we can learn from it. Lord, I cannot even comprehend how patient you are. I cannot even comprehend, as wicked as the world was, and yet you waited as long as you did. You are such a good and gracious God. You must judge, and you will, and there will be many who will receive your judgment in eternity. But Lord, there will be many who will not, because they came through your way of escape, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to find salvation in him. So Lord, help us to be patient and realize that you're even patient with us, Lord. You're kind and gracious to us. You never give up on us. We are your children, and you're always working in us. We might be a little stubborn sometimes. We might be a little resistant, but you're always gently working to change us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.